First reading this morning is Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Their war break out against me. Even then, I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent. Set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Keep me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes. The false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. I'll give you a moment to get there. Revelation chapter 1. The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and was and who is to come, the Almighty. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Mike, thank you so much. Amy, thank you very, very much. And it's lovely to be back with you this morning. Hasn't it been wonderful, even already, together with God's people, to sing his praises, to spend time in prayer to him. And it's wonderful now to have a few moments to reflect on God's word that we've just heard, to reflect on God's word in this particular time and in this particular situation that we find ourselves in. I don't know where you were when you found out about the emergence of a case in Auckland, or where you were when you heard the news that we were going into a lockdown. The Trinity staff were meeting, as our normal practice, on a Tuesday afternoon. We were going through on Tuesday the details of the jazz cafe evening, which was to happen on Wednesday, and the butchery event, which was to happen on Saturday night. We were rejoicing in the large number of people who were coming along. We were excited about the number of guests and friends who had been invited, who were going to hear of Jesus and the satisfaction that he alone can bring. And then this. It all happened pretty quickly, didn't it? We were all, of course, aware kind of the possibility of another lockdown. We were all conscious kind of theoretically that in principle this could happen at any time. And yet when it actually did happen, it caught so many of us on the back foot. I know it certainly did for me. As David talked about in the kids' report, there's so much change that has happened and so quickly. But friends, that's not just the lockdown, is it? That's life. We're all aware, of course, of the possibility of huge change that can happen so quickly. The diagnosis, or the disaster, or the sudden death. We kind of theoretically and in principle know that those things can happen at any time, like they have happened for so many of us over recent weeks and months in different ways. So frequently we're caught on the back foot. And so I wondered if maybe this morning it might be helpful for us to spend a few moments reflecting on that psalm that Mike read for us, Psalm 27. If you've still got a Bible, grab it and make sure it's open to Psalm 27. It'd be helpful for us to hear God speak to us in our current situation, in the COVID lockdown situation, but also so that we might hear God's word and be prepared and shaped for things that may happen in the future. There are two points that I'd love for us to reflect on briefly. The first is this: God's people have confidence in a crisis because of who he is. Let me say that again. God's people have confidence in a crisis because of who he is. The psalm is written by David. You see there under the title, Psalm 27, of David. He's a king of God's people who lived about 3,000 years ago. And David was a great king. But he was a king who also endured his fair share of crises. There were military threats from other nations. There was turmoil and unrest within his kingdom. There were personal failures on his part. And horrific things happened to him personally, even the death of a child. David went through it all. Now, we don't know the exact setting of this psalm, other than he wrote it. But as we heard it read, we got some idea of what David is facing, what he's thinking of. There are these words spoken about a physical threat. Do you see it there in verse 2? The wicked advance against me, enemy and foes, an army besiege me in verse 3 and breaking out against him. There are physical threats externally, but there's also relational problems internally. Do you see there, verse 10? He speaks of his father and mother forsaking him. Verse 12, people are lying about him, false witnesses spouting malicious accusations, physical threats and relational problems. Now, friends, it would be overcooking things a little to speak of our situation in exactly the same way. But there are some parallels, aren't there? There's something out there which is a threat to us, something beyond us which is literally besieging us, locking us up. There is isolation, physically, yes, but relationally as well, that comes with that physical isolation. But the strongest parallels that we have with the psalm are not what is being faced so much as what is being felt. You see, in the face of this crisis, David acknowledges that there is the possibility of fear. Notice again, twice in verse 1 and then in verse 3, he mentions that he will not be afraid because the potential is for him to be full of fear in the face of this crisis. And the isolation that he speaks of, it isn't spoken of coldly or objectively. He's spoken of being forsaken. But notice that David doesn't simply react to his situation. He thinks and he chooses to respond. He doesn't let his circumstances have the final say. In fact, he speaks back into what is happening to him. Do you notice twice that he says he will be confident? Verse 3, though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Even though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. And then at the end of the psalm in verse 13, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. See, David is confident in this crisis, not because of who he is, not because of what he can do, not because he's been here before and got through it once already, not because it's not as bad as it could be. No, his confidence is grounded in who God is. Have a look again at verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You see, his confidence is grounded in who God is, his character. A God who is personal and a God who is powerful. He's personal. He is Yahweh, the God who has made himself known. Has revealed himself to his people. My light and my salvation. A God who is powerful. The Lord, the commander of all things. Ruler of all the kings of the earth, as we heard from Revelation 1. The God who saves, the God who is my stronghold. The stronghold of my life. See, in times of crisis, it's easy to kind of see only two things, two parties, yourself and the crisis. But David sees and knows and trusts in a third party. He brings the Lord into the equation. There is David and there is the crisis and there is the Lord who comes in. And because of who the Lord is, personal and powerful, David is confident, not in himself, but in his God. Because of who his God is. And what is he confident of? Verse 13, have a look at it. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He will see that God will bring good and do good and be good even in the midst of this crisis. David is confident because of who God is. And my dear friends, God has not changed. He is still personal and powerful. He remains our light and our salvation of our lives. And our lives are safe with him. For we know that in all things, even in a crisis, even in this moment, God works for the good of those who love him. He works for our good as he transforms us into the likeness of Jesus. Jesus who continually and perfectly and absolutely trusted God. God's people have confidence in a crisis because of who he is. And because of this, or maybe we should say this is because, well, our second point. God's people have a direction of desire because of who is coming. Let me say that again. God's people have a direction of desire because of who is coming. Oh, we've already seen that at the beginning and the end of the psalm, David expresses his confidence. He repeats that word twice. But here in the middle of the psalm, David repeats another word. Do you see it there in verse 4? One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek. Verse 8. My heart says of you, seek his face. What is it that David seeks? Well, we've just read it in verse 8. He seeks the Lord. His confidence is in God, and so he seeks him. Notice the variety of language that is used. At verse 4, he talks about dwelling in the Lord's house. He talks about gazing on the beauty of the Lord. He seeks him in his temple. Verse 5, he wants to be safe in his dwelling, in the shelter of his tent. Over and over and over again, David wants one thing. It is to be with God. He has a direction of desire. Notice his longing is not to escape the hardship or to avoid difficulty or even to get back to normal. the direction of his desires, and here in bad, the direction of desire is to be with the Lord. He seeks the Lord's presence. He longs to see his face because of who God is. And the thing that he's really scared of in this psalm is isolation from God. Verse 9, do you see it there? Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. Do not reject me or forsake me, he goes on, God, my Savior. But even as he says that, as he addresses this fear of being distant from God, he does that wise thing again, the thing that we've already seen him do. He tells himself the truth. Verse 10, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. He talks to himself rather than listening to himself. He allows God's word to shape his reality rather than his experiences or his expectations. He tells himself the truth and he believes what he says. He speaks to himself of what God is like and what David himself will do. He will seek the Lord and the Lord will receive him. He will desire his Savior. He will orientate himself towards God, confident in who God is. My dear friends, we are in such a better place than King David. For we seek a God, not a temple or in a tent or in a house, but we seek God in the person of Jesus Christ. We don't have to go anywhere to meet with God, for God has come to us in the person of his Son. His Son who died for our sins, who was raised triumphant over death. His Son who sent us his Spirit to be with us forever. We orientate ourselves towards God by coming in repentance and faith, in humility and need. And we know that we are received, not because we look to ourselves and our own goodness, but because we look to the cross and we see him hanging there, bearing our sin. And we look to the tomb and we see nothing. For he has been raised triumphant over death, my light and my salvation, the stronghold of my life. Friends, there is much that has been lost in these days of lockdown. But there is something that has been given for so many of us. Time. What a wonderful opportunity that extra time gives us in these strange days to seek the Lord in his word and to dwell with him in prayer. To believe and trust in his present presence by his Spirit whom he has given us. His Spirit who speaks on every single page, in every word of the Bible. His Spirit who speaks here and dwells here as he comforts and applies the finished work of Jesus to us. See, we desire our Lord in our present circumstances and situation, but we also look forward. Do you see down there in verse 13, as David finishes the psalm, his confidence is that he will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Our confidence is that we will see the ultimate goodness of the Lord Jesus when he who was raised returns. The language we heard in that reading from Revelation chapter 1 that Amy brought us. When the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, comes with the clouds of heaven and every eye will see him. You see, our confidence in the present crisis is grounded in who God is, personal and powerful, working for the good of his people, even in this situation. And so the direction of our desire lies is towards him, to seek him in the person of Christ. And we do that in the present, day by day, even in lockdown. But the direction of our desire is ultimately towards the return of Christ, the one who will bring an end to sickness and suffering and sin, who will restore and who will perfectly reunite. See, our confidence is grounded in what God will do on that day. And our confidence in that day is grounded on what God has done and the day that Jesus died, the day that Jesus rose again. So can I encourage you as we close, Christian person, to know the confidence that you have in Jesus, that in this crisis, indeed in any and every crisis that you will face, you need not fear, for you know the future. You know the God who holds that future. You can be confident because of who your God is. And may I encourage you, if you're with us this morning and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, we're delighted that you're here. Thank you for joining us. But may I encourage you to consider in these days that you have, to consider what God has done in the person of Jesus. Take this time that the lockdown gives you to consider the one who died and rose again, the one who speaks in these words. Read of him, come to know him, make up your own mind for yourself about who he is, what he has done, and what he offers and claims. Come to the one who will never forsake you, never hurt you, never leave you, the one who drives away fear, the one who gives meaning and hope now and forever. Well, let me finish, as the psalmist does, with these words. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we thank and praise you that we can be confident because of who you are. We thank and praise you that you have raised Jesus from the dead and seated him as the ruler of all the kings of the earth, the one who was and is and who is to come. And Father, we pray that you would so move our hearts that we would not fear, but that we would desire you. Might we seek you? Might we long for you? For the return of Jesus, may we even seek you in these moments, dwelling richly in your word, having precious times of fellowship with you in prayer. Might you meet us for our good and for the glory of Jesus, we ask it. Amen.